us, he goes before us, he's always with us. You are welcome to your daily energizer, your daily fit boost. Always so good to know you're there. I'm here hooking up by the word, with the word of God, getting better, getting encouraged, getting stronger, dealing with, facing, and confronting everything around us by faith. Glory to God. What a beautiful theme song we have for this week. I Am Not Alone by Carrie Job. Glory to Jesus Christ. We're still on the 23rd Psalm. Come on, somebody. Are you ready? Okay, so it says, the Lord, I'm using the Amplified Classic today, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Amen. Right? Glory to Jesus Christ. So we are in the fourth verse. I might mean that was exactly what Carrie Job was basically singing. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. So at the beginning of this series on Monday, all right, we said you walk through the valley and then you're walking through. Don't stop. Right, don't stop. You're not to stay in the valley or to camp in the valley. You're only walking through. I trust that maybe on Friday, just maybe, we will be able to deal a lot better with that first line of this very beautiful verse. But we're still dealing, all right, with the fear part of I will fear no evil. 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 Glory to Jesus Christ. And it's just exciting how, you know, we're moving much further today. Okay, so, I mean, we find in the book of Luke and the first chapter of the book of Luke. So beautiful. One thing you've got to understand, I mean, we've had to, you know, read a lot of fear not in the last, a couple of days right now. And I believe it's been helpful. Yesterday we talked about do not despair. You remember that, right? Do not despair. Do not despair. Do not despair. So today, let me hold on. I'll say it in a minute. All right, so Luke in chapter 1, and then we see, I could just skip straight to the 13th verse. It says, but the angel said unto him, that's Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you will call his name John. So the angel shows up and says to Zechariah, fear not. And I said to us, I mean, these angels, I mean, they're huge in stature, and there just might be even the physical reason for them to appear and then have to start by saying, fear not, because they could startle, you know, they could startle one, all right? So we go now to the 26th verse of the same first chapter of Luke. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you amongst women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. 30. The angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. So we see it being a language, all right, that angels speak, all right, something the angels have to say. Fear not, fear not, fear not, all right. So we'll go to the second chapter of the book of Luke. That's Luke chapter 2. And we pick it from the 8th verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. Okay, before I go to the fear part, we're already hearing some Christmas bells ringing. All right, so the angels, you know, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, okay, which shall be to all the people. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Isn't this super, like, super so amazing? Let's go quickly now to the book of Mark and the 6th chapter of the book of Mark. So in Mark chapter 6, we find Jesus feeding the multitude. And then, I mean, we'll see a similar story of Saul in John chapter 6. But in Mark 6, okay, so he's done feeding the multitude. And the 45th verse, Bible says, if you look at 44, it says, and they did eat the loaves. All right, they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. So 45 now. All right, and straight away, he constrained the disciples to get into the boat. Like, guys, you need to go. You got to go. Okay, get into the boat. All right, constrain them to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethesda while he sent the people away. So disciples departed first. Then Jesus had to send the people away. 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them, all right, toiling, all right, in rowing, for the wind was contrary. They were moving against the wind direction, a bit difficult in sailing, all right. The wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out, ah! All right, but I want you to note verse 50, all right? For they all saw him and were troubled, all right? They thought it was a spirit. You know, some would write it was a ghost, all right? And they thought, and then they saw him, all right? Verse 50 now, they were troubled. Look at this. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Please notice, immediately. I want you to take note of the word. I trust and believe it's in the King James here specifically for a reason. Immediately he said to them. Immediately. He wasn't going to permit fear. And I've had to say that. Jesus could have had opportunities to play pranks. Oh, Peter. You know, we're going to die. You know, and then, I mean, he's Jesus. He could just have operated word of knowledge, all right? And then, oh, you did this. Ooh, nobody knows what I know. Oh, I've come to get you. And then, he'll scare them out of their wits. But he didn't do that because fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated. Please, you might need to write that down. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear empowers the devil the same way faith empowers God. So already getting to our basic point for today. So we go to Mark 5 now. Just left 6. We'll go to 5 and launch out. All right. So in Mark chapter 5 from the 21st verse of Mark 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody getting blessed already? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And when Jesus was passed over again by sheep into the land, much people gathered unto him, and it was near unto the sea. And behold, there comes to him, all right, one of the rulers of his synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him greatly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live. 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So we're going to skip because exactly from the 25th verse, the woman with the issue of blood enters into the story. And then all that rolls onto the 34th verse. So we continue the case of Jairus from 35. While he yet spake, all right, that's just still speaking to the woman. Because in 34, he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. All right, so 35, while Jesus was still speaking, there comes from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, your daughter is dead. trouble the master no longer. Your daughter is dead. Trouble the master no longer. If you remember in the 6th chapter, when these men were afraid and they cried out, Bible said immediately, Jesus said to them, immediately. He had to stop the fear. So notice here, they said to Jairus, trouble not the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He didn't wait. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken unto the ruler of synagogue, he said unto him, as soon, immediately, he said, don't be afraid. Perish that thought. Kill that fear. Why? Like I said a few minutes ago, fear tolerated. All right, when you tolerate fear, you contaminate the faith process. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Faith and fear are forces. Faith is a force. Fear is a force. So basically, we could say what we're dealing with, all right, is what, you know, we could call it faith versus fear. And I'll be sounding largely like maybe Kenneth Copeland this morning. Even the statement, fear tolerated is faith contaminated, is Kenneth Copeland. All right, so we give props to whom props belong to, all right? You know, because you've got to understand how these things work. Please note this, all right? And this is Copeland I'm quoting also here. All right, Satan cannot do anything to us apart from fear, any more than God can do something for us apart from faith. Faith moves God because faith is in God. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. Did you get that? Satan can't do anything to you unless he finds room for fear. God can't do anything except there's room for faith. I mean, Jesus could have just said, well, I'm Jesus. You know, there's nothing that I cannot do. I'm unlimited. I'll do whatever I feel like doing. And people just have that funny belief, you know, and say, well, whatever Jesus wants to do, Jesus will do. Well, not exactly. All right. Not exactly. Please get this. So we'll quickly look at Mark chapter 6. So Jesus is in his own hometown. Let me just try and run through that quickly. And he went out from thence and came to his own country. Mark 6 from verse 1. Came to his own country and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this that is given to him? And even such mighty works that are done by his hand. Is this not? You would have thought they would have been like, wow, he should come and lay hands on them. Verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. All right. They were too familiar with him. All right. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own people and his own house. So this is why the statement came up. Verse 5 says, and he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid hands on a few sick folk and he healed them. Okay, he could there do no mighty work except lay hands on a few sick folk and he healed them. Verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching, all right, to help the unbelief. So you realize that Jesus was limited. So there are things that God wants to do. God needs faith from our own end. Faith gives him the room. Faith activates his power. Faith creates the environment for God to do the miraculous. Don't forget, all things are possible with God. But then Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believes. So by believing the thing is possible, by walking by faith, by putting our absolute trust where God's word is concerned on any issue, no matter how seemingly impossible it is, we've just told that thing it has to change because all things are possible to him that believes. So Satan cannot do anything to you apart from fear. Satan cannot do anything to you apart from fear. So Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So Peter says, resist him, steadfast in faith. It means don't give fear room. This guy is going to come around you and act like he can devour you. Don't give him room. Don't give him room. Because Satan cannot harm you, can't do anything to you without creating fear. And that's why I realized in Psalm 91, for instance, because you know who God is, says you will not be afraid. In Isaiah 54, which we've read more than once, and we still read it last week, it says, hey, you will be far from oppression because you will not fear. Because you will not fear. Because you will not fear. So God needs the environment of faith to function. Satan needs the environment of fear to function. Faith moves God. Fear moves the devil. Do you understand that? Now, what is faith? Faith is a spiritual force. Faith is how we receive from God. You understand that? For by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is how we receive. So grace makes the thing available, but it's by faith we take it. Do you get that? All right. It's also by faith we please God. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For him that will come to God must believe that he is. All right, and there is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you've got to believe. This is God. I believe. My faith is out here. All right? And Bible says, in four places, the just shall live by faith. By faith, we turn impossible situations around. Mark 11:23. Whosoever will say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, but believe that the thing he says will come to pass, it will have what he says. By faith, we get our prayers answered. Mark 11:24. What things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. All right? By faith, we change impossible things. By faith, we get our prayers answered. Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24. Just in case you need to write that down. All right? Now, so faith is a force. It's an active force. Faith is God's creative power. You got that? Faith is God's creative power. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. I'm sure you remember Hebrews 11:1. Okay? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Fear, on the other hand, is also a spiritual force. Fear is a spiritual force. You got to get this. Okay? So faith is a force. Fear is a force. Something quite interesting happened, all right, in Matthew chapter 14. So in Matthew 14, we find Jesus. Similar case of him walking on water. All right? So, verse 26. And when disciples saw him walking on water, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. See that again, all right? But immediately, I like the use of the word immediately. And King James here is saying straightway. Straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He did not tolerate the fear. Endeavor not to encourage fear in yourself, in the people around you, in your children. Endeavor, do your best. Try and explain the thing in faith. Don't say if you just keep running on the road, a car can just hit you. No, explain. Endeavor to bring an idea of faith, all right, or teach the lesson without creating fear. Doesn't stop you from teaching the lesson, but you teach the lesson without creating fear, without creating panic. Faith is the arena of God. Faith is the atmosphere of the miraculous. Fear is the arena of the devil. Fear is the atmosphere, all right, for evil. Please get this. Faith is the arena of God. Faith is the atmosphere for the miraculous. Fear is the arena of Satan. Fear is the atmosphere for evil. You've got to address what you want to address without creating fear. Yes, I need to say it so that they can get the point. They can't get the point. God didn't have to scare you into getting born again. Now, the person who preached to you might have scared you in getting born again, but God didn't have to scare you. God sent a message of love, and then you hear it, and the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And then God didn't have to tell you about hell, but he didn't paint a picture of hell and fire and said, hey, go into all the world and tell them there's fire waiting for them. If they don't run away, they're going to jump into the fire. He says, no, go talk about my love. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. And God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, saying the fight is over, the war has ended, the bridge has been restored. Hallelujah. God's arms has been stretched out. His love has been demonstrated. Glory to God. So if God could express his heart where eternity is concerned without fear, it means we can endeavor to communicate our points. All right, to our associates, our colleagues, our business partners, our children, without fear. Without fear. Say what you want to say. Draw the line between caution and fear. Sometimes, yes, I know it seems like it's a very thin line, but there is caution, all right? Don't go running around the pool. Caution. All right, Because why? It's slippery. Don't say, people run around me. They just fall. They just break their head. Whoa, you know. You're still getting the point across. Don't go running around. You know, it's slippery. Tiles with water on it could be very slippery, right? Yeah. Do you understand that? So you need to be watchful there. So yes, you teach caution. It's very okay to do that, all right? Don't overtake unduly at a curve, all right? I mean, there are things we say that is basic caution. Basic caution, all right? So Jesus, 27 here of Matthew 14, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. So Matthew now gives us this other part that we don't find, all right, in Mark that we read, or, you know, even in John. So 28, and Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it is you, ask me to come on the water. All right. And Jesus said, come. What else should he say? It is him. All right. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Please don't forget that. Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. Did you get this? Please. I'm saying it again. Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. All right. Some of us just think he jumped into the water and he began to sink. No. Peter walked on water to go to Jesus. All right. So, verse 30 now says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? He was afraid. Jesus said, why did you doubt? That means the fear he entertained contaminated the faith process, bringing doubt into it. Don't forget, he was already walking on water. But this is the amazing part. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He saw the wind. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. 24, please listen to this. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So they were not having a smooth sail already. They were disturbed. All right. If you remember, as we read in Mark also, they were moving contrary to the wind. So it was difficult sailing. So 24 says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. You could picture, I'm sure you've seen, you know, maybe movies or something. So the ship is being tossed already with waves. Okay. For the wind was contrary. Oh, Jesus is super slick. In the midst of this contrary wave and tossing wind and everything going on, someone is just slide, you know, having a slick walk. Hallelujah. On the water. Glory to God. So, but this is my point. The wind was already contrary and the waves were already disturbing. So what did Peter see that he didn't see before? Do you get that? What did Peter see that he didn't see before? It was already disturbing. Then Peter saw the wind boisterous. And then he was afraid. And then he began to sink. Uncle Peter, you've seen this before. The issue is he looked. What you look at is magnified. He looked at Jesus, focused on the word Jesus spoke, and he kept on walking on water. Took his eyes off Jesus to the circumstance. And this is what the devil will keep doing to us. He will keep asking, look at the circumstance. Oh, things are getting worse. Oh, your faith has been 3 days now. It's not working. And then you forget the fact that you've even walked on water a little bit. The little you thought you couldn't do, you've been able to do. You thought the sickness will knock you down. You've been able to take a few moves, do a few things, go to the market or to the office or get some job done. Yes, there are still a few symptoms you're dealing with. But then the devil paints a picture of the symptom. Oh, maybe it's this. Oh, maybe it's that. Oh, maybe it's this. Oh, maybe it's that. And the more it gets big on you, you find that you can't confess God's word anymore. You start becoming afraid because you're meditating on the wrong thing. Fear is a force. Faith is a force. Fear is a force. Faith is God's creative power, but fear is Satan's destructive power. Please get that. Fear is Satan's destructive power. And while faith is a substance of things hoped for, all right, fear is a substance of things not desired. Fear is a substance of things not desired. Okay, fear was a substance of Peter's undesirable failure. He sank. He was afraid. How did he become afraid? He looked. He saw. He gave attention to something. Do you understand this? All right. You've got to get this. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. All right. Faith comes by hearing. But question is, how does fear come? F- Fear comes also by hearing. Fear comes by sight, by observation. We walk by faith, not by sight. So you hear something, you see something, you feel something, it sends signals of fear to you. Do you get that? Send signals of fear to you. And we develop fear through meditating and acting on the lies of the devil. Same way we develop faith through meditating and acting on the word of God. Do you understand that? We develop fear through meditating and acting on the lies of the devil. We develop faith through acting on, meditating on and acting on the word of God. Faith is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. Fear also is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. Have you been so afraid you overblew the case? And you created a reality by fear. Eventually, like it happens with faith, it comes to pass. And I say, see, did I not say it was going to go bad? You kept on saying it will go bad. Please understand this. Romans 4 verse 17 says, faith calls things that be not as though they were. Faith does not deny what is. Faith doesn't deny what is. All right. So maybe we grew up with not having money. All right. And then our parents or uncles and aunties will say, oh, I mean, I'm so rich. Oh, I'm so rich. I'm so rich. But you got the point. It wasn't a faith confession. It was them not having to say, this is it. Then they say, that is it. You know, maybe someone goes to the hospital and comes back and the doctor says, well, this case is critical. You know, the person might die. The person said, well, the doctor said my enemy will die. But you only just didn't say, but you're saying it. So we get what you're saying. Faith doesn't deny what is. Faith stares what is in the face. And faith says, hey, this is what the doctor says, but this is what the word of God said. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. Faith doesn't call things that be as though they were not. Did you get that? Faith calls things that be not as though, basically, faith doesn't deny what is. Faith does not say, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. Now, faith could say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to my body, I call you healed. What are you doing? You are speaking what is not and calling it in. God saw darkness, he said, let there be light. So if there's lack, you say, in the name of Jesus, I declare abundance. I declare abundance. I declare lack any right around me. I declare sickness. I declare that sickness, I deny sickness any right around me. I deny lack any right around me. So you can deny the thing a right around you. You're not denying the thing. You say, no, I don't have lack, I don't have lack, I don't have lack. Now, yes, you could say by faith, I cannot lack, I refuse to lack. That's you speaking to a mountain and saying, be gone. Get the difference there, please. I hope it's clear, all right? You're not denying what is. You're speaking to a mountain and saying, be gone in the name. If you deny a mountain, how do you speak to a mountain? All right? But what faith does is it calls things that be not as though they were. You speak the mountain out of your way. You say, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I have a leveled ground. Things are smooth and things are working well. Praise God. I believe this blessed you. This helped you. Drop comments. Give feedback. Let's know how well this is blessing you. Have a very superb day. Don't forget to share. And I will see you tomorrow. Bye. See you.